Welcome back to Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Up next, some of my frolleagues have been tweeting me lately, offering tips to help me hypermile. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? No, I'll bet you don't. I didn't know about it till just a while ago myself, and we're not alone. Seems like in the time it takes your avatar to res, there's a terabyte of new tech terms that you've never heard of before. And just when you were getting used to jumping to warp speed, comes a whole slew of new tech jargon. The author of Wired Magazine's Jargon Watch column is here to translate for us. He's going to run down the top tech terms of 2008 so we can all be up to date together. And we'll take your suggestions for Tech Word of the Year. Have you got a tech word you think that we should add to the vocabulary? For example, we came up with one. Actually, Annette came up with one. She called G-cloaking. That's when you stay hidden on Google Gmail so no one knows you're logged on. You're G-cloaked. I like that. What do you think? Jonathan Keats writes the Jargon Watch column for Wired Magazine. He has a new book coming out in February called The Book of the Unknown. He's also a conceptual artist. Among his recent works, The Atheon Project at the Judah L. Magnus Museum in Berkeley, California. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
What do you think of our G-cloaking?
Oh, I think that it has some promise, and largely because it's now on the air. Words really come into circulation through the media, and if enough people like it or remember it, then it becomes a phenomenon of its own.
Let's start with the word I mentioned in the introduction, hypermile. What is a hypermile?
Well, hypermile is actually the word of the year, chosen by the Oxford English Dictionary, and it's been around for a few years now, but it really has hit the mainstream. Hypermiling is a practice undertaken by many drivers to try to maximize their mileage by, for example, turning off the engine when they are coasting or undertaking even more complex sorts of procedures, known sometimes by a newer term, which is eco-modding.
Eco-modding.
Eco-modding being a form of modding or modifying your vehicle in order to make it optimal in terms of mileage so that, for example, you might make your hubcaps more aerodynamic or even more involved than that. People have started installing high-temperature engine thermostats.
I've been hypermiling my Prius for years and didn't even know it.
Well, I think that a lot of people are like that, and I think that sometimes a word can capture what is already in the zeitgeist, what's already out there, and can, in a sense, can mobilize people behind what already was second nature to them and can encourage even greater acts of hypermiling in this case.
A lot of words, of course, come from the internet. We have Twitter here. We have tweets. We have tweet ups, and that goes with tweets, twillers, and one I just read today, Twitteria.
Twitteria. The thing is that I write the Jargon Watch column, but I can't keep up myself. So I may steal that one from you.
That's like diarrhea of the Twitter, I think, something like that.
Yes, there are a lot of words that combine words that we're already familiar with. Frolique is one that you mentioned in your introduction, and it's really quite typical as a practice, largely in commentary, often media commentary on phenomena, cow pooling being one, the act of pooling together as a group to buy a whole cow and then to subdivide that cow, to buy a cow from a farm and have the farmer butcher it, subdividing T-bones and sirloins, divvying them up. Frolique is another one of these terms, which is a friend who is a colleague on a social networking site such as MySpace or Facebook or LinkedIn. And this is, as in the case of cow pooling, somewhat of an artificial term. In the case of cow pooling, one that was made up in an act of cleverness, a very writerly sort of term, whereas Frolique seems to have come from LinkedIn, which did a study finding that 47% of users in the UK mix friends and business contacts on their social networking sites, causing all sorts of problems where business contacts see stag photos and things of the sort. And the term gives a sort of authority to pop sociology in this case, or it might be for pop psychology or many other sorts of popular pursuits that have an academic tinge, but not a whole lot of academic credentialing behind them.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if our listeners have come up with anything original. Deborah in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I have a 20-year-old son who is an avid gamer, and he wears a T-shirt, and it says, "Latency kills." And I've always wondered, you know, like, what does that mean? And so I asked him the other day, and he said that when you're playing a game, like with your peers are all on the network, on the net, all across the world, and you do an action on your computer, the time between when you do that action and when it actually takes place in the game is called latency. And if you, you know, you can get killed during that little pause.
Wow.
It's a good term because it takes a word that is already in the language and expands upon it for something that really happened. Well, I guess in the world of games, whether it's real or it isn't is debatable, but it's a word that is called for by a community and that makes use of the language that we have in a novel way. So I think that that is a word that has much greater chance of survival in the long term than something like Frog League or cowpooling.
Yeah. Good luck, Deborah. Thanks for calling.
Cool. Thank you. Bye-bye.
1-800-989-8255. Kathy in Phoenix. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just wondering if some words maybe take a longer time to get into the language. It seems like the phrase paradigm shift all of a sudden started getting popular in the last few years, and yet that phrase came from a book. I don't know if it was Thomas Kuhn or somebody else. Ira, you might know that.
Yes.
That was in the 80s. And then what I hear lately, again, is metrics, and it sort of took the place of demographics, or I don't know if they mean exactly the same thing, but it seems like some of those kinds of words that come out of philosophy or the philosophy of science pop into the language and then become popular, but it seems to take some longer than others.
Yeah, you're right. That goes way back many years. You're absolutely right. Well, what do you think? Jonathan, things seem to now take a New York minute to get in there?
I love the term paradigm shift. There was a review of of Thomas Kuhn's book, The Structure of Scientific Revolution, shortly after it came out, in which the reviewer, philosopher in his own right, took that word and found all the many ways in which Kuhn's used it in his book. It was something like 40-odd different ways, which for philosophy is not necessarily a metric of the highest accuracy, but I think that it's because of the wiggle room that term had, that it had the potential to enter into the less precise realm of spoken language. And yes, it took a long time to do so. It probably was that Al Gore really liked that book and probably started using that term, and gradually it leaked out. So it's largely arbitrary, but it also has to do with whether a term resonates. And there's more and more complexity in our world right now, so there are more and more ways in which a term might resonate, so therefore that it might catch on.
I got a good term that you brought up called a bossa nova.
Yes.
It's not a dance, is it?
A bossa nova is it's a term that really had no real circulation outside of physics. It had to do with an explosion in a Bose-Einstein condensate. The term was introduced in the year 2001. It was found that this had supernova-like qualities, but for some reason, some of the people who believed that the Large Hadron Collider would cause the end of the world and were predicting that there would be black holes were looking for a second term, something that sounded a little bit more sophisticated and ominous, and came up with bossa nova, which is sort of strange because a bossa nova has really very little energy. It isn't a danger at all. Bosonovas were produced in the laboratory. That's how the term came into circulation in early in the 21st century.
It's like it's almost like a quantum leap, which is not a very big leap, you know, in reality.
Yes,
but it came to meet something else. 1-800-998-8255. Let's go to Mike in Philadelphia. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add one to it. I saw it start to surface up around the internet and everything this year was bromance. It's a platonic love between two heterosexual men, like a best friend type love.
A bromance.
Yes.
A bromance. Yes, it seems that there are a lot of words these days that have one or two letters from another word added at the beginning or the end. A myrtle, for example, a girdle for men, seems to be one that got around for a little while.
Didn't Seinfeld do something about that? No, that was the bra. The bro.
The bro.
The man's ear, it was.
I think that these are, generally speaking, they have a good deal of humor to them, and they also are markers of our society and how we interrelate. So for the archaeologists of the future, looking at this language will be a very good way of measuring who we were and what we thought was important.
Mm-hmm. How did you decide how to collect which were the best ones? How could you wade through all of them?
Oh, I haven't ever collected in any organized fashion to choose the best words of the year. I've always, over the course of the year, run usually around four terms in each issue of Wired. So I'm really on the front line. I'm reading all the newspapers that I can, all the magazines that I can, looking, using Wikipedia, Google, and so forth, and just finding terms that seem to resonate. Mm-hmm. And I leave it to others to decide which are the best, and I leave it to the world at large to decide which ones will last.
This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow, talking with Jonathan Keats, who writes the Jargon Watch column for Wired magazine. He has a new book coming out in February called The Book of the Unknown. 1-800-989-8255. Lots of people with suggestions. Let's go to McLeod in Santa Barbara. Hi.
Hello. My suggestion is the word tubed. And this was funny. I was sitting with a friend of mine, and I said, hey, you know, that would be really good if you posted that. And he just said tubed. And without us communicating beyond that, I understood that it meant he just shoved all that information down the magic tubes onto the internet. And it was funny. I was just sort of listening to this, and I heard somebody else say it, and I was like, oh.
You know what's interesting?
Here, I understood a word without hearing it before. I understood it in context.
But, you know, in a different generation, that would mean a television. He's watching
it
the
would.
Tube.
And at this point, I think it's partially pulling on the humor of the idea of the internet as tubes, which it isn't. and secondarily, because of YouTube and that sort of thing. You know, I hear people also do the same thing when their, you know, boyfriends are playing on the iPhone, and somebody, oh God, he's been iPhoned. And, you know, he's been
Google. Google started it to Google something, created the verb. Jonathan, comment?
Yes, it can be a really powerful phenomenon when a company gains market share, Twitter being one, Google being the best example of all, such that the word comes into general parlance. Kleenex had this, Xerox had this in the past, and there's a term for this phenomenon and for the possibility of losing trademark control over your brand name, which is genericide. And Google initially seems to have really supported the use of Google with a small g as a term that really popularized the search engine, but after some time came to worry a bit that this might make the term so widespread and so generic that it would no longer have the trademark protection that they initially had gotten for it and that they depend upon for their business model.
Mm-hmm. Any words that you particularly like? I got about a minute to go. Anything you want to throw in?
I like deep carbon. I like these words that have deeper meanings to them in terms of bringing us to an awareness of what we might not know much about. Deep carbon is the greenhouse gas that is locked up in the permafrost that, as global warming is exacerbated, will ultimately possibly cause much greater damage than any of the environmental factors that we typically think of.
Mm-hmm. So we might be seeing more of these environmental words entering the jargon.
Yes, I've been marking many of them, a lot of them to do with alternate fuels, mycodiesel, which is made with a fungus, green crude, which is made with genetically engineered algae. So these terms, to me, are fascinating because they express our concerns, and they can also make people more concerned about one of the most fundamental problems facing our world today.
All right, Dr. Jonathan Keats, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thank you very much.
Happy holiday, happy new year to you.
You as well.
Jonathan Keats writes the Jargon Watch column for Wired Magazine, and he has a new book coming out in February called The Book of the Unknown. He's also a conceptual artist. Among his recent works, The Atheon Project at the Judah L. Magnus Museum in Berkeley, California. That's about all the time we have today. Our program is produced by Christopher Intagliata, senior producer Ned Heist. Charles Berquist is our director. Flora Lichtman is our producer for digital media. Our intern is Molly Ashford. Josh Rogerson is our technical director and at the controls here in New York. We also had help from Susan Locke and in Second Life from Lynn Cullins, Dave Andrews, Jeff Corbin, and the University of Denver. Science Friday's Pick of the Week, our video's up there. It's all about birding. If you're interested in birding, you can watch our video this week, our Sci-Fry Pick of the Week. You can also write us at Science Friday for West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036. Have a happy Hanukkah and a happy New Year. I'm Ira Flato in New York.